is going to be item C2 regarding number of buildings on a residential zoning district lot, Unified Development Ordinance Text Amendment. Or Joel, whoever's going to do it.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 8th, 2017 at 7 o'clock p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To your public comment regarding an application by the City of Franklin for a proposed ordinance to amend the Unified Development Text to amend Section 15-2.0206 and such other sections as determined necessary to be consistent with the purposes of the proposed amendment to allow a single-family residence structure to temporarily remain upon a lot during the construction of a replacement single-family residential structure. Section 15-2.0206 of the Unified Development Ordinance requires, in part, that in all residential zoning districts, excepting the R1E district, only one principal building may be located, erected, or moved onto a lot.
Thank you. Okay, Joel, why don't you tell us a little bit about this project?
Thank you. A few times in the past 10 years that I've been here, a question like this has come up. Somebody wants to build a new house but still live in the existing house, and that was one of the reasons this came up again this time. So the ordinance doesn't allow that currently. This proposal would allow it under just that limited situation. And even more rare would be somebody who wants a second house for other reasons. And even this one's relatively rare. Other things I could note is in the draft ordinance, there's proposed sort of conditions and factors that would go into this. For instance, the main one is there would be a letter of credit or bond required to cover the cost of certain things like abandoning the existing house, abandoning the septic system and the private well if that has to be done, those kinds of things. In the staff report, staff does have concerns and is recommending no, but we raise a whole bunch of issues or concerns. So there's possibility for some other changes. The city attorney has addressed some of those concerns as well, and I think you'll touch on that during your discussion. But at this point, the Alderwoman Wilhelm was very interested in this, and the proposal is to approve this with just that limited situation, just replacing existing homes and allowing the person to stay in their existing home until such time as the new home is completed, and to require that letter of credit and bond. And then I can go into more details after the public hearing.
Okay. Well, then I'd like to open the public hearing for comments. You've got to state your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, my name is... I can talk loud, too.
Yes, that's fine.
My name is Evan Lampe, 3240 West Drexel Avenue, Franklin, Wisconsin. Love this map, by the way. I've used it so many times.
Great.
So I'm currently in a situation where my wife and I have lived at that address for the last 3 years. It's a 13-acre lot. Bought it basically from land with the intent to eventually build a new house. We're now to the point where we want to build that new house. It would be a pretty substantial burden for us to move out of the existing house. It's a livable house. Just doesn't serve our future needs. So if we had to demolish the existing house before starting a new one, we would have to then rent for the period of 6 to 8 months, which is what the builder estimates it's going to take. We probably also have to store a significant amount of our possessions and storage units. It would just be so much simpler and easier for us to live in the current house, complete the new house, take all possessions, move them, demo, and, I mean, there's no point where we want to have occupancy on both structures. I know there's cases like R1E where people might want two houses or something. Not at all the case here. We just want to make the transition so much simpler than what it would be if we had to tear down before. Especially since my wife would be here, but she's almost our 1 month old. So just one more thing to make it more difficult. So that was all I had. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks, Evan. Any other comments from the audience? Alderwoman?
One of the things that he was dealing with was he went to the inspection department and they said they had allowed this in the past through just going to the Common Council. They had laid out that entire plan for him to do, but then further research was determined that, no, we need to make some changes. So this has been done. In the past, there has been problems with the building not coming down, and the city attorney has very heavily addressed that concern. So rather than looking at the past, I'd like to look at what it is for today. And he's addressed, the city attorney has taken a lot of the different comments into consideration, more so than the ones you have in your packet. He did more work on it today. And I guess the, I talked to Fred Baumgard this morning, and I also saw him up at the Rock a little while ago. And I asked him if he had any concerns, because his staff and his department would be the one mainly working on doing this with the building inspection. And he said, no, he didn't really have any concerns. He would do what the council and the plan commission directed him to do. And I, again, asked him, are you sure, because it hasn't gone to plan commission and council yet, I'd be happy if you had anything you want me to bring forward to do so. And he said, no, he didn't really have anything. So he's comfortable with what the city attorney has put in place. So I think he can, the city attorney can address those issues.
Sure. Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, we're going to close the public comment period. And have questions, field questions from the commission.
We have something here in front of us from the city attorney. So near the bottom, it talks about the city engineer discussing need for private sewer and water replacement systems facilities. I recall some conversation today that this is really intended for the septic system. Can you address that?
Yes. The way the ordinance is written now, the letter of credit and bond is relating only to building code-related items. So if the ordinance stays as is or similar to as is, in general, I think it'd be more appropriate to be reviewed and approved by the building inspector, and specific to the building, the septic systems. There is one element that calls out the septic system separate and says city attorney, and I think it would be more appropriate for the building inspector to review that.
So it says private sewer and water replacement systems facility as determined by the building inspector?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. Deedle, there's a current system on this land, right?
I believe so.
And my question would be what is the capacity for this system, since the house is much smaller? Is it going to be properly fitted for the newer structure based on the number of bedrooms and bathrooms in the newer structure? And I see the property owner wanting to interject or intervene, and I'll allow him to provide that question, you know, the answer. But
no, I would only be guessing. I would assume that they look at that during the building permit, but I can't guarantee that.
I wouldn't get a permit otherwise.
Yeah, so Evan Lampy, 3240 West First Avenue. So currently it's a very small tank. It's like 250 or 750. It's very small. It's below what you can be allowed to install nowadays. So we'd be actually abandoning carrying out that system. We'd be having a new septic system sort of in the house.
Okay. Okay, good. So then it will match. Were you leaning toward, Joel, in your comments, were you leaning more toward city sewer and water? Is there a city sewer and water that goes past this? No.
No, this wouldn't address that. That'd be a separate issue.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Holden.
Joel, you said in the past 10 years that this has come up?
Yes. Inquiries for this.
Okay, but nothing has ever been.
After the fact that there have been a couple instances, too, where they did this alternate approach through the building inspection department.
But nothing has come forward? Nothing was ever?
Until the planning.
Okay. Thank you.
But in reading this, the frequency or infrequency of this really coming out in front of the city is going to be rather minimal, correct?
My guess is it's still going to remain small unless it gets heavily advertised in some way.
Yes. And Mr. Haley, do you have any questions or no?
No, I guess it, in general, this provides an opportunity for actually improving, increasing the value of the property.
Definitely, right? Definitely.
Benefit of the city.
City Attorney, do you want to add some comments in regards to the...
I did distribute a handout with proposed added provisions to the draft ordinance, which would go right at the end of what's already there. I went through the staff report and highlighted the concerns, potential zoning district standard conflicts where setbacks and lot coverage conflicts could occur. That's addressed in what I did. Problems with accessory structures no longer being legal under the code. I addressed that also. Now, I'll read it on the record because if you just listen to it, you can hear how it covers it. And with regard to natural resource features, and Mr. Dito can respond to this because he's got broader, more basic planner concerns, but I think what I did here in specifics, it addresses 99.9% that nothing's perfect on this earth out there in the realm. And also I addressed the area available for future sewer water replacement systems. So if someone wants to apply for one of these permits, I added a number of conditions, not only that would be a condition or requirement of the permit, but also to even be able to apply for the permit or be granted a permit right up front. And here's what I did. Here's what's in front of you. The only thing that's going to change on here is you can take your pen or pencil and cross out city engineer and put in city building inspector. During the temporary time period, so the permit will say this has to happen within X, obviously barring some tornado or something like that, but it will have a time limit. During the temporary time period of construction of the new residence and until the existing residence is timely demolished, setback and lot coverage standards required under this ordinance, which shall be met and adhered to upon and after such timely demolition. So in other words, you're not forgiving any of those requirements when the new house is up and the old one's down. They have to all be in compliance. But during the temporary time period, shall not be enforced. It shall be a condition of the issuance and qualification for issuance of a permit hereunder that all existing and any new accessory structures on the property shall be in compliance with all standards required under this ordinance. Any existing accessory structures not in compliance shall be removed or relocated as a requirement of the permit. And that also could be covered by the letter of credit, or would be, no later than the timely demolition of the existing residence. So it all has to be timely. It's a package deal under the permit. It shall be a condition of the issuance and qualification for issuance of a permit hereunder that all natural resource features standards required under this ordinance, including the terms of any conservation easement on the property, shall be complied with. It shall be a condition of the issuance and qualification for issuance of a permit hereunder that the subject lot is of sufficient size and area that despite the temporary existence of two residence structure pads on the property or the locations thereof, there remains a reasonable area to accommodate any future need for private sewer and water replacement system facilities as determined by the city building inspector. And then I put penalty provisions in. Any violation of any term of a permit issued under this section or any term or provision of this section shall constitute a violation of the UDO and enforceable as they're under in the municipal code, which can include daily forfeitures. It's $500 a day, $100 a day, $2,500 a day, or an action to the circuit court for some form of injunction, if you will, or other authoritative action.
So can I ask a quick question? What prohibits him from subdividing this parcel of land?
Subdividing has nothing to do with it.
Creating a new CSM? We wouldn't allow it, correct? I mean, he'd have to come back to the city.
Oh, and, well, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a separate permit.
Right, and we wouldn't allow it. Okay.
Well, it's 13 acres.
Correct.
You are obligated under the code with regard to land divisions. You only deny them when there's not compliant with the code or the statutes on it.
Yes.
So okay. If he wanted to subdivide it into 500 mini lots, you could say no. But if he wanted to turn it into 10 lots or 13 lots, it's 13 acres.
Correct.
And all the other requirements were met, why would that be an issue?
But that would not stop us or prevent him from, I mean, that could not create a situation where he then could decide not to tear down the existing structure if he were to subdivide the land.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Where's the incentive?
But yeah.
He's got to come still back.
You just subdivide it up front if his intention was to have.
Correct.
To,
yeah. It is not your intention. So, okay. I just raised the question.
Yeah, the real world, it's pretty hypothetical. I don't.
Well,
and the land division process could address that in the condition, but I don't know that it would be an issue.
It would. Or Mr. Dietl?
I would believe that it's clear that the council and the city would have the ultimate say. Theoretically, he could ask for, you know, gets this permit to start the construction of the second house. During that construction, say, I had a new idea. I want to create two lots, one for each of these homes. And he could apply for that. City could always say no. But it's always harder to say no when you have, like, something already underhand. You could say, you know, geez, normally I wouldn't like the location of that second house. I didn't know you were going to create a new lot. If I knew that, I would have told you to put the house over here. Well, it's too late now. It started. So then the council would feel, and the planning commission would feel pressured to approve it because it's already been started. But ultimately, the city does have the ability to say no, even if it has been started.
Okay. Commissioner Hogan.
Joel, with this memo from the city attorney, what would your recommendation be now?
I can walk through them. Still recommending no, but I am acknowledging that the first concern I had about the setback and lot coverages would be fully addressed.
I'm sorry.
So the first issue that I identified in the staff report concerning setbacks and lot coverage, with Jesse's changes, would be fully addressed. I wouldn't have that concern anymore. The second one about accessory structures is, I think, partially addressed. And it would be even more addressed if it was clear that it was going to be covered by the letter of credit or bond, so that if there was some accessory structure like a fence or a shed that was no longer compliant with city regulations and had to be removed, that letter of bond would also cover that cost. I'd still have some concern, but to a lesser extent, that the same, it goes back to the similar situation. You know, don't make me tear it down. It's been there for 20 years, and then it's hard to say no. We can say no, but it's harder. So that would be my remaining concern on the accessory structure. But with adding that cost to the letter of credit, I'd have less concern. The natural resource features, I believe that we're adequately covered from obvious intents to encroach into a natural resource. I'm always concerned about the less obvious ones, the ones we tend not to catch. So when somebody, their backyard isn't big enough, now they have kids, so they cut down a larger area for their kids to play. Well, they never get a permit for that. We'll never know until somebody complains. And it does happen. Or somebody wants to plant a garden in a protected area. Or, you know, they build a new gazebo or a patio or a deck, and it's overshaded by the trees, so they cut down some of the trees that are protected. You know, it's not going to happen a lot, but it does happen already. And my concern would be now you're moving the house to an area that's not in the middle of the lot anymore. Lots are designed, CSM lots and subdivision lots are designed to fit the house in the middle and get the natural resources off to the side or entirely off. Now the house is going to be off to the side, potentially closer to those natural resources. So again, it's no guarantee that it's going to happen. I just think it increases the chances that encroachment could happen. Then for the private sewer and water system, it's a similar idea. You try to identify good areas on the lot when you create the lot for your house and for the septic systems. Many times, the best place for a septic system is also the best place for the house. So you're going to be encouraged, the property owner will be encouraged or will want to, in many cases, to put that house where that good septic system field is. And again, we can say no, that you're putting that house, there's no area left, we could say no, but it makes it hard. So that was my concern. So it's these increasing the chances of problems and then all these different ones added up that caused me to recommend no. And then the bigger one, if I had to pick a bigger one, is just the neighborhood character. So it's not in Jesse's comments. It's a bigger, broader planning issue. Most neighborhoods, I'll say many neighborhoods, most subdivisions establish a character. The type of house, the age of house, the style of house, the location of the house. Now again, and the smaller the lot is, the more this will become an issue. You know, the first house is probably more towards the center of the lot. The new house is going to be set off to the side. It won't be the same as all the others. Some people like that. Many people don't. So that would be one of my concerns too. So it's none of these by themselves, in my mind, are terrible. It's the atom of all of them together that causes me to recommend no.
Thank you.
Okay. Counselor.
Just on Mr. Dietl's last point about neighborhood character, when I did a rough draft right out of the gate on this, I had a standard in there that to qualify, the property has to be no less than 10 acres. And everybody on staff thought that was arbitrary. But Mr. Dietl, the city planner, just gave the reason why you would put a larger lot size on there. So it's not arbitrary. And I said it was reasonable right out of the gate. Because then you don't have this subdivision neighborhood and all of a sudden the house is going in some area that's right up against the setback, et cetera, et cetera. These are larger areas of land.
And I do agree. I couldn't find any justification to pick 10 or 5 or 3 or 1. But I do agree with the idea.
Commissioner.
I have a question, Joel, about the potential natural resources feature conflicts that you're concerned with. If you have an existing house, presumably it's already has appropriate setbacks for all the natural features. And then when you plan the new house, it would have the appropriate setbacks for whatever may be in that area of the yard. So I guess I'm a little confused as to why there would be concern about encroaching on those features.
As I mentioned, I'm not concerned about the obvious upfront encroachment. I'm concerned about the incidental stuff over time, the stuff that usually doesn't get caught. And people tend to ignore what that subdivision plat or certified survey map shows over time, even more so if they're the second or third owner. You forget that there's that protected natural resource. You forget where that boundary is. You might not even know it.
But couldn't that happen on any lot? And it does happen on any lot.
Correct.
So
I'm just thinking the odds are slightly higher here.
And then the sewer and water conflicts, I mean, that's the whole reason for the building inspector checking that out. So I think that one would be satisfied too. So.
And the city attorney has
some comments. Yes, city attorney.
Just on the flip side of Mr. Dietl's concern about natural resource features, I dare say that a house about to be contemplated for demolition is an older house. Natural resource features regulations in the Unified Development Ordinance did not exist until 1998. So theoretically, the old house is probably much closer to natural resource features than any newer house or where the new home would be. Therefore, you remove the old house, and there's a restoration approximate to natural resource features, so it's pro-natural resource features conservation.
Okay. Hearing all sides of the story, do we have a motion on this matter? Remembering that this is a citywide text amendment, so our decision is a recommendation to the Common Council's meeting in our upcoming meeting. So do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion that we make the recommendation with the city attorney's suggested language.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it if we change city engineer to building inspection.
Correct.
Suggested.
Yes. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? None. The vote is 4-0. Motion passes. So it'll be going to Common Council on Tuesday. Okay. A week from Tuesday, whenever the date that is. Okay, on to business matters. D1, the Rock Sports Complex, Sprecher Beer Cafe. Mr. Dietl?
Thank you. The applicant is here. If you have any questions, I'm sure he'd like to give a presentation. So I'll just give a brief one to start. It's a PDD amendment. The applicant is asking for this to be a minor PDD amendment, which means there'll be no public hearing, but it still has to go to the Common Council for final approval. The applicant, when the idea was first broached, there was a possibility that this could apply to a larger area than just this one in the ballpark, in the Rock Sports Complex. But ultimately, the applicant must have decided just to limit it to this one. So that at that point, they were asking staff for our ideas and opinions of what approach to use. And so I volunteered to try to beat the minor PDD approach, thinking that they were going to try to tackle this larger issue, and I thought it would be more appropriate then. So that's why I'm not recommending approval. They might think I've, you know, pulled a 360 on them, but when I first proposed the minor PDD, I thought there was a better chance that they were going to look at the larger area. Now they're just looking at this one. So then I believe that it's more appropriate to be a special use approach rather than a minor PDD. The other half of that explanation would be we believe that this use is more like a drinking place than a concession stand. However, that there is always flexibility and vagueness and lack of definitions for a lot of this stuff. So ultimately, the Common Council can make the decision if this is a concession stand. So if you agree that this could be a concession stand, the minor PDD approach is still appropriate. If you don't think this is a concession stand but is truly a drinking place, then the special use would be more appropriate. And then to go in a little bit more detail, so if they did go through the special use, I don't want anybody to go under that approach with any misunderstanding. I'd still have some concerns, but just aesthetic concerns. I don't have an objection at all to the use of a storage container or a cargo container for uses like this on a temporary basis. As proposed, on a temporary basis, I would have no problem recommending approval. On a more permanent basis, I am recommending that it look better, adding some kind of facade treatment to it to make it look better. And then I believe that the landscaping on the outside would be more appropriate to be more similar to what's at the umbrella bar than just arborvitaes. So with those changes, special use, and with those aesthetic changes, then I would be okay with this. And then we've had some discussions with Zimmerman's team and the applicant about the bigger picture, and I've expressed concerns about that as well. But at this point, they're only asking for this one. And I believe the city attorney has language in here to make sure that this is, clearly, everybody understands this is just for this one, doesn't set any precedents for any others they might ask for in the future.
Okay. Well, this is not a public hearing. But does the commission want to hear from the representative from the rock.